Well, once again, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good whenever you are listening to this. This is Pastor David speaking to you, and thank you, any and all of you who are listening in. We are continuing to speak about the subject of peace together during these midweek devotionals. And I know that this has been a long journey, but I hope that in your life, as it has, I got to be honest, in my own, will help to bear the fruit of peace in your life. And it has been a long journey. One of my children this week was asking me about writing and whether I write much. I opened the document that has all of my notes for this series in it. It's all in a single document, and it has over 80 pages of single space notes and a little over 34,000 words at this point. We've devoted a lot of time to the subject of peace. Now, right now, we're working on putting away a peace killer. And the peace killer that we're working to put away is the peace killer of worry. And we've been doing this in Matthew chapter 6. Thus far, we have seen in Matthew 6 several antidotes to worry over the last couple of weeks. We have seen that God loves you more than nature. Remember Jesus' words to consider the birds of the air, consider the lilies of the field. In both of those cases, God takes care of them just fine, and Jesus assumes that we are far more valuable than they are. Therefore, God will take care of us just as much, in fact, more so. Last week, we looked at this antidote to worry. God the Father knows what you need. And we saw that, as Jesus has said, "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." God knows what you need. Don't worry. He's your heavenly Father. He loves you. Just seek His kingdom. Seek His kingdom, and all the things you need will be added to you. This week, I want to press a little further in Matthew 6 and consider Jesus' last, "therefore do not worry" statement in Matthew 6. And it occurs in the last verse of Matthew 6, verse 34. There Jesus says, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, there are definitely links to what Jesus has just said about worry in the preceding verses, but the type of worry that Jesus speaks about in verse 34 is a different kind of worry. In the earlier verses, Jesus was talking about having provisions for now. Do you have food to eat and clothes to wear? Do you have a shelter over your head? Here in verse 34, Jesus is focusing on future troubles, broadly speaking. That is to say, he warns us not to worry about future problems. This is the anxiety that comes from the unknowns. What if my job is taken away? What if the doctor can't find the source of the problem? What if my children don't get into that school? What if that person won't talk to me after this? This is a much broader consideration of worry that Jesus brings up. Now, I'm going to be honest with you here. This is the kind of worry that I personally struggle with. I have many sins that I don't struggle with. I really don't struggle with the worry about whether there's enough to drink or eat or something to wear. I really don't worry about finances. I think part of that was early family training that instilled a trust in God for these things. But some of it, honestly, is just my natural inclination towards optimism. I honestly have rarely worried about money or finances or food or shelter in my life. But Jesus' admonition in verse 34 is actually a much greater challenge to my own heart and life, because I do tend to fret about future troubles. For me, as I'm in a position of leadership, I tend to fret about the effects of my choices. In other words, if I do this, how will people respond? What effects will this have on this, that, or the other? What if this doesn't work out? So the admonition of Jesus here is pertinent and prescient to me. Now, what is Jesus' advice here when it comes to worrying about tomorrow? His advice is essentially this: stop worrying about tomorrow because you have enough to be concerned with for today. Don't worry about tomorrow's stuff. Just worry about today. There's enough to be concerned with today. Now, I think we all know that to be true on the face of it. I mean, I've told my own children in various ways this bit of wisdom. Don't worry about that right now. Just get this done first. Maybe you've had a parent or a boss or a friend say something like that to you, or you've said that to others. It might be tempting to think that Jesus is just giving some sort of vanilla wisdom quote here that's just obvious to people everywhere. I mean, after all, you can find secular authors who will say, don't worry about tomorrow's stuff, get today's stuff done first. Now, no doubt Jesus' statement is wise. Jesus is, after all, wisdom himself. He is the ultimate wisdom of all the earth. But I would suggest that there is more than earthy wisdom here. Remember, a moment ago I said that there were connections from verse 34 to what Jesus had said earlier, and I would point you specifically back to verse 32. There Jesus says, "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Knows that you need all those things. We talked about that word knows last week. And last week I made this statement. Do you know that before you ever start worrying for what to drink or what to eat or how you're going to have the money for clothes, do you know that God has already planned for that? He already knows that you need those things? We said that last week. I would suggest to you that this idea shapes the background of Jesus' wisdom statement in verse 34. You don't have to worry about tomorrow's concerns because your heavenly Father already knows what tomorrow brings. He has seen it. He knows it. And he's not fretted over it. Our Father has planned the beginning to the end and the end to the beginning. That's true in the gospel we believe. Jesus Christ was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the scriptures tells us. You know, God had already intended Jesus to die for our sins long before we even knew that we needed that death to atone for us. In fact, not just us, but our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents, all the way back to Adam. Before God even said, "Let there be light," he had already laid out the plans to redeem mankind through the shed blood of his Son. That was the greatest need any of us have ever had or ever will have. And God knew about that long before we had a clue that we needed him and needed Jesus. Do you think it's any less true when it comes to your employment or your health or your family or your relationships or your housing or food or clothing? Now, none of this is to say that we should not plan for anything or prepare for anything. We'll explore that idea further next week. Rather, I think we should take Jesus pretty much more simply. Just get done today what you need to get done today, and God will take care of the rest. I think we should consider that at a really practical level. So, if you're a mom listening to this right now, do you know what you need to be concerned about today? Most moms need to be concerned that breakfast is there for your kids. You might need to make sure that laundry is done. You might need to get dressed for your work for the day. You may need to help with the homework. You might need to snuggle that little one who needs to know that the world is just going to be fine. There are plenty of things that need to be done today. If you're a dad, you have enough to be concerned about in getting to work and pleasing your employer. Or if you are the employer, making sure that your business operates smoothly. You have children that need your attention. There are projects that need to be finished around the house. There is a wife who likely needs today adult conversation after spending far too much time with your children. You can think like that if you're married or single, if you're an employer or an employee, if you're a grandparent, or if you're just the fun aunt or uncle. You have things that need to be done today. Get those things done and let God worry about everything else that will come tomorrow. Many people get overwhelmed with all the things that have to be done tomorrow or the next day or next week. In fact, sometimes there's a paralysis of sorts that happens in us when we fret about all the things that have to be done tomorrow so that we can't even focus on what needs to be done today. Jesus is telling us that if God knows already what we need, do what you have to do right now. Friends, you can't do tomorrow's work today. We're not time travelers. We are time bound. You can only deal with today's work. God will take care of tomorrow's work. Now, what does this actually look like for the Christian? How do we actually put into practice what Jesus says? Don't worry about tomorrow. Be concerned about today's troubles. What does that actually look like for the Christian? Well, let me give you some practical helps in this area. Some of these I have gleaned from friends and books and articles and mentors, and some just through my own experience. What do you do when you're tempted to worry about tomorrow? Let me give you four suggestions for you. Suggestion one, pray. Pray about tomorrow and give it to God. And your prayer can be rather simple. God, my Father, I am worried about tomorrow, but I trust that you are good and that you know what tomorrow will bring. I give tomorrow to you, for it is yours already. Help me to get done today what I need to get done. Do you know what that kind of prayer does? First, God is pleased with such prayers because they reflect his power and wisdom and glory. Second, God answers prayers like that. He will do it. He will take care of tomorrow. And third, that kind of prayer aligns your will with God's will. And I think that's really helpful for us because even if we don't feel it to be true that God will take care of us tomorrow, confessing that to God and speaking our desire to let God take care of tomorrow really just on a practical level helps to calm our soul. We align our own hearts and affections more and more with God as we pour out our desires to him. And in fact, what often happens is in time, we will come to feel even as we pray to our Father. So there's suggestion number one, pray. Suggestion number two, make a list of what you need to get done today. Maybe you can do that in your head, but most of us can't do that very well. Do you know that some of the earliest writings we have found in archaeology are simply people's to-do list? Most of us are helped by writing things down, and that's been true for a long, long time. Once you have figured out what you need to get done today, prioritize the most important things. Now, maybe you feel that the top of your bookshelf needs to be cleaned because it's getting too dusty, but it might be more important to get the dirty pots and pans cleaned that are sitting on your kitchen counter. Figure out what's the most important thing and get those things done. But even more than that with your list, get something done that you need to get done that's relatively easy. For me today, that was responding to a couple of emails, simple emails. I crossed that responsibility off my to-do list right away this morning and felt like I got something done. Whatever it is in your household or workplace, get something done you know that needs to be done so that you can see that you have accomplished something. That's just a practical help. Third, remove false idols. Remove false idols. Here's what I mean by this. We often put things in our lives that are there to distract us from what we really need to get done. And those things are there to give us comfort as we feel overwhelmed. So the person who's overwhelmed with tomorrow's concerns doesn't pray, doesn't make a list of what needs to be done today, but instead might spend time scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat. Or maybe a person drowns out their trouble with binge-watching a TV show. Or maybe it's fantasy sports or reading fiction novels or playing video games or sleeping in too late or staying up too late. Maybe they call somebody on the phone to just chat and minister to them, so-called. Still others turn to alcohol or drugs. Now, many of those things are not bad things. Obviously, the last two are. But they often are for people bad who worry about tomorrow. They become really a false idol because they're there to bring comfort and hope. And for them, they're the comfort and hope of distraction from their troubles and worries. And people can make excuses about them. They justify their idols. well, I just needed a little break, or this just helps me calm down and focus. I suppose that's true now and then with things that relax the mind and the body. We do need them. But often what I find is that people do these things with a regular fervency that actually don't allow them to get done today what they need to get done. And instead of turning to God in prayer for their worries, they bring in something else that often adds to their worry. Here's the thing. I have rarely seen social media bring calm to someone's life. How many TV shows make you ready to tackle the world and get things done? And certainly drugs and alcohol, they might make you feel good for a little while as your troubles fade away with the sanity of your own mind. However, as soon as that stuff wears off, the troubles are still there. So remove those idols. Get them out of your life. Oftentimes, they're simply a distraction for you to be able to get done what you need to get done today. Here's a fourth suggestion. Rest and enjoy the fruits of your labors. Rest and enjoy the fruits of your labors. Friends, it is okay at the end of your day to take some time for rest and enjoyment. Eat a good meal with friends or family. Go to the ball game. Listen to good music. Sing around the piano. Play the board game. Go meet with God's people at a church activity. These are all good things. You know, most of us can't really work more than 12 hours a day, and that includes our preparing for our day, our commute, and so on. Take some time at the end of the day when you've got done what you had to get done and enjoy the good things God has given to you. And maybe that does include some social media or fiction reading or the TV show or whatever it may be. Enjoy those things after you've taken care of what needed to be done today. I think these suggestions will help you to not worry about tomorrow. Rest and enjoy the fruits of your labor. Remove those false idols. Make a list of what you need to get done and pray. And you know what? Tomorrow, you can start again with prayer and your list and to plan for some rest. And the Lord God, your wonderful Heavenly Father who knows everything you need, He'll take care of all the rest. I hope this helps you in your journey to find peace in your own soul. The Lord be with you all.